Good evening. If we can turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I've been looking at this psalm for some time now, and I've learned some things from it that I would like to share with you. And it's been a blessing to me, and I pray that it will be of benefit to you as the Spirit of God leads us through this, through His Word. I'm going to read verse 1 through 9. Psalm 37 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the time we can spend together here in your word. Father, please direct our thoughts, our minds, as we consider your word. We thank you for it. We thank you that we can sit together here as a family, looking at your word and desiring to know your will, your perfect will for us through your word. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So two things in this psalm, starting with this psalm, two things that the Bible tells us not to do. Fret not and be envious not, or neither be envious. And then the Bible tells us four things we ought to do. It's the recipe to overcome fretting and envy. The first one is in verse 3, trust in the Lord. The second one is delight thyself in the Lord. The third one, third step in this, I would like to call it prescription too, because I deal with that all the time, but this is God's prescription. The third thing is commit thy way and trust also. And the fourth step that God tells us in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So this is his recipe, and we're going to consider those words. I really, I've never thought about each word by itself, but as I was looking here and at this passage, those words are used in other parts of the Old Testament, and it sheds a light on them that you might not notice right away as you're reading the verse. So the first thing David tells us, and this is a psalm of David, as he writes this psalm, he says, fret not. So fretting, the first thing that comes to mind is anger. You know, not many people might have that problem. We do sometimes get angry with things, and the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, be angry but sin not. Let not the sun come down upon your wrath. But here, fret not thyself. Why is the fretting? Because looking horizontally, you're looking at people and you see evildoers maybe prospering in this world. So what is fretting? Let's look at some verses. So we're going to look up some verses, so be ready. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5, that's the account of Cain before the first murder in the Bible happens. Cain, it tells us in chapter 4 and verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering God had no respect. And Cain was very wroth. That word wroth is the word fret. That's the same Hebrew word as fret. He was wroth, and that led to sin. That led to his murder of his brother. So obviously God is warning us against that type of fret. If we turn to Genesis chapter 18, this is another shade of the meaning of fret. Genesis 18 and verse 30. Here, Abraham was communing with the Lord about destiny of Sodom, about what's going to happen to Sodom. And in verse 30, it says, and he said unto him, the Lord, Abraham, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. And he was trying to tell him if there was so many righteous people in Sodom that he wouldn't destroy the city. And this word be angry is the same word as fret in Psalm 37. So it involves anger, but it also, in this case, in this instance, it's like if the Lord be not displeased with me, I will speak. But it goes on to other chapters where it describes fretting as waxing hot, you know, be incensed, as wrath kindled. That type is fretting. Be displeased, burn. The Hebrew word means let glow or grow warm. Blaze up of anger, zeal, jealousy. That's all involved in the meaning of fret. Let's look at Judges chapter 2 and verse 20. The book of Judges and chapter 2 and verse 20. Again, this is the use of the same word, but in describes the Lord. And it says, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. That word hot is the word fret in Psalm 37. So you say, well, why did the Lord tell us not to fret? And here the word is used for the Lord. Well, the Lord is merciful and long before being angry. And in this case, it's because, if you continue the verse, his people hath transgressed his covenant, which he commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto his voice. The Lord is righteous, and he cannot tolerate sin. Unlike us, unlike Cain, whose wrath, and it ended up with a murder, the Lord is just, and he judges sin, and he cannot overlook it. So another word for that's been used in the Old Testament, same word, fret, is in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and that's when Saul sinned. And that's the reaction of Samuel. in chapter 15 and verse 11. The Lord is telling Samuel, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." That word grieved was the same word as fret. So we have different shades of that meaning, but they basically are imply the displeasure. The Psalm 42 says, "Why is my soul disquieted within me?" That disquieting, that unrestful spirit in us, sometimes is that what this is talking about. And in Psalm 42, it says, God is my hope. Why is my soul disquieted within me? Hope in God. But the psalmist here, David, looked horizontally and he saw evildoers. And you know, another psalmist in Psalm 73, Asaph, said almost similar words. If we can turn to Psalm 73. Asaph looked at the world horizontally, and he said almost the same verses. He was perplexed why the evil people are prospering in this world. In Psalm 73, let's start with verse 1. "Truly, God is good to Israel." That's how he started. God is good. And indeed, the psalmist saw that in the way God dealt with Israel. "But as for me," verse 2, "as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." That's exactly the dilemma that was mentioned in 37. "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." So we look at our environment here, the world we live in, and we might see, you know, some people that don't know God, that deny God, and they're prospering in this world. So, you know, we might think it's injustice. But God has, again, the prescription for that as we look at it later. Now, the question that came to my mind, David is writing this. Did David fret from the account we have of his life in the Bible? Did David fret? Well, the same word is used, and if we can turn to it, 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 11. Here there's an event that happened that made David fret. And that is the account of Uzzah when he, you know the story, when he came, he went to hold the Ark of the Covenant and God struck him dead. And it says in verse 10, okay, chapter 13, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God." And verse 11, "And David was displeased." That word displeased is the same word as fret, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. So David was displeased in this case. But you know, it's interesting that David had that attitude. And guess what? He lost on the blessing of God. If you look at the at verse 14, he didn't bring the ark of God to his home, and because he was afraid because of what happened And look at verse 14. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obadiah in his house 3 months. And what happened? And the Lord blessed the house of Obadiah and all that he had. So David lost out on the blessing of God in this case because he fretted. He was displeased with what God has done. So back to Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. David had this account of fretting, and as he writes this psalm, I wonder if he was thinking about that incident and how he was displeased with the Lord that for what he did. But obviously, he missed out on the blessing. In this case, God does not want us to be fretting, looking horizontally at people. And the Bible tells us in verse 1 again, and neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, those evildoers, the meaning of the word is to spoil by breaking down to pieces, to make good for nothing, bad physically, socially, and morally. That's how this word is described, evildoers. And then be envious. You know, the word envious is provoked to jealousy, to jealous anger. You know, as we saw, Asaph was envious of the foolish. And the Bible tells us, don't envy the foolish. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 31, you don't have to turn to it, it says, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. And Proverbs 24:1, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. The Bible clearly tells us not to envy evil men. And the reason it tells us in verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That's the reason. Don't envy them. Because the Bible compares them to grass. You know, the Bible describes in Psalm 90, Moses describes humanity as grass that appears and then is cut down. And here he describes evil men as grass. You know, they appear for a minute or so and they disappear. And It's good for us to consider that as we consider, you know, as we look at people around us, you know, and consider some might prosper, but yet it's only for a short while, you know, and the Bible tells us here in verse 2, they soon will be cut down. Now, the word soon is not immediate, it's hastily will be cut down. When it happens, it will be hastily. But it's not immediate that they will be cut down. But again, it's looking from God's perspective at humanity, it's only as grass, and it won't last long. They soon shall be cut down. So now let's get to the prescription. The prescription first is to trust in the Lord. That's the solution for fretting. Trust. The word trust in the Old Testament is to hasten for refuge. Be confident or sure. Put confidence in. Secure. Trust. That's the trust that we're talking about. And interestingly enough, the trust, the word trust in the New Testament, the Greek word for it is a different word. So this has a different shade of meaning. Trust in the Old Testament is that. Security, confidence in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And if you notice, Lord is capitals, L-O-R-D, Jehovah. Jehovah, the self-existent, the one who was from eternity past to eternity future. That's the one who you want to trust in. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. You know, the Bible tells us in many places how, you know, in the New Testament especially, that a Christian ought to do good. Let me give you, I'm not going to turn to those passages. But I'm going to read them to you just to give you an idea how much it's emphasized to do good works in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, abound to every good work, the Bible tells us. In Colossians 1:10, fruitful in every good work. And 2 Thessalonians 2:17, God establish you in every good word and work. Titus 3:1, ready to every good work. Hebrews 13:21, make you perfect in every good work. And here the Bible tells us, you trust the Lord and do good. Do good. He's good, as we saw in Psalm 73. The psalmist starts with the fact that God is good. Okay, so trust, put your confidence in the Lord, in Jehovah, the self-existent one, and do good. This is the first step. And thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He will meet your needs. The Lord will meet your needs. You know, you trust in Him, and He will meet your needs. He might not meet your wants, but He will surely meet your needs. The second step is delight thyself in the Lord. And this word delight, be soft or pliable, sensitive, tender or delicate. Find delight or pleasure in Jehovah. Seek our happiness in God, His being, love and friendship. You know, to be soft or pliable is what God wants our hearts to be, to His word. Yeah. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 6, that same word delicate is described as, delight is described as delicateness. That's how we ought to have our hearts. Delicate. And it continues that verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So the question is God going to give us everything we desire? I mean, we sometimes might desire earthly things, and the answer, I believe, is that when we walk in the Spirit and we have not after the flesh, like Galatians describes to us, not producing the fruit of the flesh, then His desires, God's desires, Jehovah's desires will be our desires. And those desires will be accomplished. If we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and we will produce fruit that God honors, and He will, and our desires will match His desires. And that's what this verse would talk about, looking at the New Testament. Delight thyself in the Lord. Be sensitive to His word. The third step, commit thy way unto the Lord. And not just commit, but trust also in Him. Repeating, trust also in Him. So if we look at the meaning of the word commit, to roll, to remove, roll away, flow away, rolling a heavy burden from ourselves. That's what commit. That's the meaning of the Hebrew word. Commit thy way. Thy way, course of life, mode of action. You roll that, your conduct, your manner in which you live, the burden that you have, is roll it to the Lord. Let's look at a couple of examples. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 18. If we can turn to Joshua chapter 10. And verse 18, it says, and Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. The same word roll is commit. Commit. So we want to roll our burdens upon the Lord. Roll our burdens. And we have many. I mean, we live in a cursed world, cursed earth. And people around us, you know, are not looking to honor God. So we live in this environment and we have burdens. We have many burdens, you know, loved ones suffering, you know, a loved one in a hospital bed sitting beside him, you know, the grave injustices in this world, you know, how many, you know, we hear stories about innocent people going to jail, you know, and being spending years in jail and then found innocent. Well, what about if it was a best friend that happens to him? That would be a burden for us, right? Many injustices that could happen in this world, but the Bible tells us we have to trust God. He's sovereign. He controls all things. And we have to commit, you know, roll our burdens upon Him. As the Lord Jesus has said, you know, to bring our all ye who are heavy laden, come to Him, you know, to Christ. And that's what this is, what we ought to do here. Commit our burdens to Him. And after we do that, after we roll our burdens to Him, trust Him. Trust Him. Don't stop there. Don't just bring your burdens there and stop. You got to trust Him. He is our safe and secure place. He is, we should have our confidence in God and in the person of Christ. And He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. You know, whatever the burden is, He will take it away from us. If we delight in Him and if we commit our way to Him. So these are the three steps. And then verse 6, if we go back to Psalm 37, verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. So how does this fit? I was looking at it. This verse, if I connected it to verse 1, so the evildoers might be doing you harm. They might be, you know, breaking that which is whole, you know, doing evil to you personally. But, you know, if you delight in the Lord, if you trust in the Lord, if you commit your way to the Lord and trust Him, He shall bring forth your righteousness. Whatever injustice was done to you, He will bring it out. He will bring it forth. And thy judgment as the noonday. He will take care of things as we trust Him. Trust in the Lord. And after those steps, then we ought to rest. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. So this word rest is very interesting. It is to be dumb, to unable to speak, implies astonished, to stop, to be still, cease, quiet self. That's what rest in the Lord is, quiet self. And there's two examples that, you know, as you think about them and consider them, they're amazing. Let's look at the first one, Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3. In this example, the Moses uses the same word as rest. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3. And it says, then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it, that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. Actually, I'm going to go back to, well, Yeah, I mean, so Nadab and Abihu were struck by the Lord because they offered strange fire. And Moses said unto Aaron, "This is it, the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. That held his peace is rest. So here's his two sons were struck dead, and the Lord is telling him, "Be still, be still." And there was a reason for it. They offered strange fire. Whatever it was something that they violated God's command. And Aaron had to hold his peace, be still, and consider the holiness of God in this case. You know, God is holy and he cannot tolerate sin. The second example, which I thought is also interesting, is Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 17. So here, the death of Ezekiel's wife. If we start with verse 15 of Ezekiel chapter 24, "Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. And verse 17, it says, "Forbear to cry." Forbear to cry. That's the word still. That's the word rest in Psalm. Forbear to cry. Be still, and know that I am God. Consider who I am. You know, when we face those situations where, you know, difficult situations that causes us to be disquieted within us, our spirit, the last step is to rest, to be still, and consider who God is. And the psalmist says, and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. You know, not everything God says is going to change overnight, in a minute, in a twinkling of an eye. That's not going to happen. He will come in a twinkling of an eye. But things might take time, and God is in control, and we ought to be waiting on him. Rest, be still in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. The word wait patiently is translated sometimes be in much pain, travail, be wounded. Also, it's translated tarried in Judges chapter 3 and verse 25. So, to wait on the Lord is mentioned, like, as far as I could tell, at least four times in the book of Psalms. Psalm 27:14, it says, wait on the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 1. Psalm 62, verse 1. 73, verse 3. Wait on the Lord. We looked at Psalm 73, Asaph. Here's admonition, wait on the Lord. And here, it says to wait patiently for him. Even though the circumstances might be difficult, but yet, the solution that God gives us in this verse, in this passage, is to trust, delight ourselves in the person of God, commit our ways to him, and trust him, and then rest in the Lord. Rest, be still, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And then the Bible repeats this. It says in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And you know, anger, wrath, and fretting in verse 8, the three Hebrew words in the same verse. In the New Testament, there's two words for anger and wrath. Here, there's three. But they're all, you know, to stop anger, to forsake wrath, because those would lead to sin for a human being. You know, and that's why the New Testament says, don't let the sun come down upon your wrath, because it develops, and the flesh is in us is weak, and we it tends to end up in sin, and God does not want that, and he admonishes us to not to fret and not to envy, and rest in him. I would like to turn to for the last verse we'll look at, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. That's an admonition the writer of Hebrews tells us. In the light of this psalm, he says, for ye have need of patience. So those people were going through difficult time, the Hebrew believers, through persecution and difficult time. He tells them in verse 32, ye endured a great fight of affliction. But in verse 36 it says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, after you have trusted him, after you have committed your way to the Lord Jehovah, after you have delighted in him and his word, after you've done that, after you've done the will of God, which is the word of God, which we delight in it, ye might receive the promise of rest, the promise of meeting our needs. God is faithful, and we should have that confidence in him, that trust, that refuge to come to him, to come to the person of God, Jehovah. And God has made it possible through our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is our high priest, seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. What a privilege we have. And through him, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we can find comfort, that we can apply those principles, you know, of resting in the Lord, of committing our ways, of rolling our burdens upon him, and he will take care of us. He is faithful to fulfill his word, and I thank him for it. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We thank you, Father, for the promises in it. We thank you that when we face the burdens of living on this earth, that we can bring our burdens to you, Father. We can roll our burdens on you, and we can commit our ways to you, Father. And we know that we have a great God who hears us and who is delighted to fulfill his perfect will in our life. So we pray that we would be patient, that we would be waiting on you, Father, as you delight in working your will in us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.